You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you want to be?
Where you want to be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
Running like a rare disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and Black Talk RadioNetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a good day yesterday and a even better day today and even much more better tomorrow. You know, each day gets better. Let's hope that's the case, right? This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific. Or any other time around the world, but if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Also, too, the program on Time for an Awakening. Go to that. If you want to listen to this program live without commercial interruptions, go to Time for an Awakening. On the right side of the page, you'll see the link. Click on that, and there will and then the program will be, if it is broadcast live, it will be live. If it is not, it'll be whatever the program that Brother Elliot has set forward. So there that is. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, and all times are Eastern time. Tomorrow, Thursday, from 7 to 8, Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement, with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club, from 7 to 8, Mississippi on the Move. Friday, 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday from 7 to 9, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Also, too, for this program, you can easily go to whatever search engine that you use and put in Baba, B-A-B-A-O-S-H-I, BabaOshi.net, BabaOshi.net. And once again, programs that are dated and titled. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba, he is getting set to once again take our people to a village of a lifetime. This month, end of the month, March 29th to April 9th, going to Liberia and Morocco. Liberia and Morocco. July 11th to July 23rd, Ghana. November 21st to December 2nd, Kemet, December 24th to January 4th, 2025, Azinha, April 1st to April 11th, Senegal and Gambia, that's 2025, April 1st to April 11th, 2025, Senegal and Gambia, May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. November 21st to December 1st, Brazil. Those are the some of the, because, you know, Brother Bomani will be putting more up. But those are the ones that are active right now. And once again, if you choose to look at one of the trips and you pay on it, you'll be locked into that price, because otherwise there's always that possibility that these things could go up, and they do. They're subject to change, and it tells you that. You know, so Africa for the Africans. If you want to, excuse me, pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. Facebook.com/Bomani. Bomani. If you want to see videos, YouTube.com/Bomani2007. And, of course, if you want to give Brother Bomani a call, dial 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. Africa for the Africans.org. Habashaw. Habashawincorporated.org. Habashaw helping Africans by establishing schools at home and abroad. And the brothers and sisters at Habashaw doing great work here in the Atlanta area and on the continent. Go to HabashawIncorporated.org. The Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The Ledge Group, brothers and sisters, they deal in the four areas for human necessity that humans cannot survive without. That's food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries. And over 170 employees and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Our good brother is going to be in Kenya for a while. That is the Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan. The great work that he's doing in Kenya. Appreciate the pictures and stuff they sent. But I'm asking you, dear brothers and sisters, to go to the website, theministerofwellness.com. Theministerofwellness.com. Look at the products that are being sold, the information. You know, I tell you, it needs to be done. So, theministerofwellness.com. Brother Nathaniel Jordan. Smy Pharmacy. SMAIFARMACY. Smy Pharmacy. Contact Brother Jabril. He has a fine selection. New products all the time. Another website for you to deal with optimum health. Smy Pharmacy. SMAIFARMACY at Gmail. Or dial 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. Moses West Foundation. The Moses West Foundation, brothers and sisters. Water is a human right. Water should not be commodified. The brother has developed the atmospheric water generators where you can pull water out because there's moisture in the air, H2O. And you could pull it out the air, put it in the machine, and it only deals with the H2O molecule. So if the atmosphere is not pure or there's some contaminants, it'll kick that to the curb and only deal with the H2O molecule. So when you open the tap up, out comes clean, drinking, usable water. So the reality is this, family. There's no shortage of water. In spite of climate change, in spite of reservoirs and rivers and lakes, you know, decreasing, in spite of that, that's a fact. Those are facts. But because of what Moses West has created, the atmospheric water generator, the AWG, we still have the necessity, the elixir of life, water. So go check it out for yourself, family. More importantly, donate. Donate. Assist. All right. Sun God Essential, one-stop natural shop located 4140 in Jonesboro Road, Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Brothers and sisters, contact Shelly Amonsett at 404-434-7963, 404-434-7963. Sun God Essential, one-stop natural shop located in Forest Park, Georgia. So check that out. Sanjay-Aidi, Sister Gabriella Aurelia is doing the great work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. And she relies solely on those of us outside of Haiti. So please go to the website, Sanjay, SONJAYITI.org. SONJAYITI.org. All right. And Ackerman Institute, Baba Baruti, Mama Yah, they are just doing phenomenal work. Brothers and sisters, if you want to go to PayPal to support what they're doing, go to PayPal. Put in the information, Yah, Y-A-A, Yah Baruti, at yahoo.com, yahbaruti at yahoo.com. If you want to use Cash App, put in the $ Yah, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, for Cash App. If you want to check out some of the books, the literature that Baba Baruti, go to Ackerman House, A-K-O-B-E-N, house.com, ackermanhouse.com, for the books that Baba Baruti, who's a prolific writer, and there's no doubt about that. And so every program that we have, we read the Inyah Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inyah Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Okay. March 5th. March 5th. Punish those who deserve punishment, and none will equal your righteousness. The Hosea. The Hosea is the writings coming out of ancient Kemet. The wisdom. The Hosea. They wear the mask that smiles and spies. It hides their terror and disarms their lies. This murderous rage they hide is, oh, so foul. With heartless abandon, they falsely smile. And conspire has won in stealth. Why shouldn't the world know of their crimes, the sins, the insults, the unredeemable wrongs? No, they cannot allow honest revelation while they wear the mask. They project self-hatred, making superficial ties to their dead gods in the caves on high. They proclaim a collective pain and the burden of harnessing and civilizing the darkened, reigned in until they no longer have to wear the mask. They'll always wear the mask, is who they are. Affirm, I soundly punish those who deserve correction in a way that they will be unable to commit wrongs again. Oh, I say. Affirm, I soundly punish those who deserve correction in a way that they will be unable to commit wrongs again. I say. March 6. A compliment to you at the same time a compliment to me. Your beauty and style are also my beauty and style because you are a reflection of me. We are one. We have to learn to be able to give and accept praise and deserve flattery without readily assuming that the giver is trying to get into our pockets or into our bed. Loving people compliment each other. They thrive on making each other feel good about themselves. Ashe. Baba Mawali Mu. K. Bomanti Burudi. Baba Burudi. African sovereignty cannot come into a world where the measure of relationships is based on who can get what from whom and not what can be reciprocally given through without expectation of return, where compliments are an insult or at the minimum suspect, unless there is some personal benefit, where there is no respect without agreement or force, where morals are based on an immoral popularity and righteous tradition, where character is a role in a movie without character. Ashe. Affirm, I compliment those who reflect me. Affirm, I compliment those who reflect me. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Going to talk today about Project 2025. We touched on it. And it's really deep. It is probably one of the most arrogant things I've seen from these Caucasians in light of the history and the things that have transpired. It's almost, see, you got to understand the word conservative. What does it mean to conserve something or to be a conservative? To conserve something, to keep as is, to conserve it, to keep as is. We as African people never wanted to be conservative, although I see many Negroes who are conservative. In fact, on one of the pieces of talking about in favorably Project 2025, one of the first persons you see talking about it is some Negro, and he's all smiles and so forth. I mean, brothers and sisters, as African people, in this situation, from the time that we were brought here against our will to the times that we did not go back after we were so-called free, because we never have really been free, we just had to acquiesce to this system. And yes, we fought and we tried our best, but our best wasn't good enough because it was weak against a system whereby their dominance rule. And they want to conserve. They feel that those who are more progressive, those who were those who were left wing, those who were radical, those who wanted change. Yeah, the conservatives. And they have a plan. Project 2025, they have a plan. And it deals with Donald Trump. The conservatives have a plan. It's been discussed and wrote about for the last few years. Some people are just hearing about it. Some people who have just looked into it. Some people are ignoring it. Some people look at it as way
to right wing, and it's scary. Dictatorships. I mean, serious. There's the program that you can go online, project2025.org. Project2025.org. The policy agenda. The book is there. Mandate for leadership, the conservative promise. Mandate for leadership. I remember Ronald Reagan. They felt his presidency, his numbers were dominant. Dusted Jimmy Carter, and he won easily won re-election. That he had a mandate. But Gil Scott-Heron said, mandate my ass. Ronald Reagan. Even Ronald Reagan wasn't this bad. I'd hate Reagan. This is deep. So the policy, the mandate for leadership, the conservative promise, 2025, the policy agenda. This book is an invitation for you, the reader, Mr. Smith, Mrs. Smith, or Miss Smith, whoever, to come to Washington or support those who can. Our goal is to assemble an army of aligned, vetted, trained, and prepared conservatives to go to work on day one to deconstruct the administrative state. The book is the product of many, more than 400 scholars and policy.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
And policy experts. And policy experts. Yeah, we're talking today about Project 2025, excuse me, Project 2025. Contributors include former elected officials, world-renowned economists, veterans from four presidential administrations. This is an agenda prepared by and for conservatives who will be ready on day one of the next administration to save our country. The Heritage Foundation is once again facilitating this work, but has our dozens of partners and hundreds of authors will attest this book is the work of an entire conservative movement. The next conservative president, who they hope and will be, Donald J. Trump, will enter office on January 20th, 2025, with a simple choice, greatness or failure. It will be a daunting test, but no more so than every other generation of Americans has faced in past. The conservative promise represents the best effort of the conservative movement in 2023 and the next conservative president's last opportunity to save our republic. Mandate for leadership, the conservative promise, 2025. Some of the table of contents of the book, I'm not going to go deeply off into this. You know, the note for the Project 2025, Paul Danz. He's the one of the leaders. A foreword is written by Dr. Kevin Roberts, Promise to America. Section 1, taking the reins of government. And of course, they talk about the White House, executive office, central personal agencies, managing the bureaucracy, Common Defense, Defense Department, Department of Homeland Security, the State Department, Intelligence Community, Media Agencies, Agencies for International Development. Section 3, the General Welfare, Department of Agriculture, Education, Energy and Related Commissions, Environmental Protection Agency, Department of Health and Human Services, housing and urban development, the interior, justice, labor and related agencies, transportation, veteran affairs. Then the next section is the economy, Department of Commerce, Treasury, Export-Import Bank, Federal Reserve, Small Business Administration, Trade, the case for fair trade, Peter Navarro, the case for fair trade, and the case for free trade, Ken Lessman. Section 5, independent regulatory agencies, financial regulatory agencies. The Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, FEC, Federal Election Commission, and the Federal Trade Commission. And then that's it. Onward and onward, Edward Follner, onward. The 2025 Presidential Transition Project paves the way for an effective conservative administration based on four pillars. The four pillars are the policy agenda, presidential personal database, presidential administrative academy, and a playbook for the first 180 days of the next administration. So that's what they're talking about. I got some stuff. I'm going to play some stuff. I got some stuff to read to you as it relates to this madness. Yeah. I don't know, family. I look at it like this. Implement this. So we know for sure we need to get the F out of here. We need to go home. Do you honestly think a conservative movement is going to do right by African people? You got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. The only thing that does right by African people in a land that is controlled by Caucasians is something progressive, and that we hold their feet to the fire to be progressive. To be conservative? Are you mad? Are you stupid? To conserve this madness? Man. Conservative. And for those brothers and sisters, Nikki Haley has suspended her campaign. I didn't think she was going to do that. But then again, there's no doubt about it that he's going to be able to run regardless of all of these court cases that are leveled against him. There is no doubt in the Supreme Court, because of those conservatives on there, there's no doubt about it that the only thing that is going to prevent Donald J. Trump from being elected is that he doesn't get as many votes as Joe Biden. He doesn't win as many electoral votes as Joe Biden, just like he did last time. I don't give a damn if he wins by 2 or 8 million like he won last time. And, you know, honestly, I don't give a damn if he wins or not. I don't want Trump to win. But when you consider what these people are planning, let them win then. Because the only way that you let them win is you don't vote. Because you pissed at the Democrats. Because Republicans cannot. They do not have the numbers. They don't. They don't have the numbers. But, you know, let's see what happens. But for me, it doesn't make a difference, family. For those of us who are calling for
those of us who are calling for the liberation, self-determination, independence, sovereignty for African people, that's a different story, family. That's what we're calling for. We're calling for a different dynamic. We're not, I mean, we recognize the people that run this country, even though their numbers are dwindling daily. It was said many years ago, by the year 2050, they got that down now to 2035. 10 years from now, Caucasians will be a numerical minority in this country. 10 years. Because their birth rates are declining big time. And that being the case, how can they conserve something? They won't have the votes. There'll be ways, believe me. They'll still run it. They'll still control it. Hell, they run what is now Australia. They run what is now called South Africa, formerly Azania. They run other places that they put themselves in a position, and they may not have the majority, although they like the idea of majority rules, because if they're the majority, they rule. They rule. And that's what's been the case here. Because in the case here, the control of the population of indigenous people, the control of the population of immigrant people, the control of the population of those that they've enslaved. And the whole idea was bringing more Europeans, more and more Europeans, so they could be that majority rule. That's not happening. So, yeah. So let's. So let me check out one of these things I kind of pulled up, you know. No, I'm not going to play that one. That's all about who they are. I'll play this one. This is not that long. It's 10 minutes. Gives you a good idea. And the person presenting is I guess he's a liberal, but let's go with this one.
Welcome to the show. I have a really, really fun one for you today, if I'm being honest. So we're going to start with something serious. I have to break down for you what's called Project 2025, which is an amalgamation of right-wing think tanks. They got together and they decided, here's the agenda for the next Republican president. Now, they're all thinking it's likely going to be Trump, but even if it's not Trump, if it's DeSantis or Vivek Ramaswamy, they have a plan to hit the ground running and get their policy objectives accomplished very, very quickly. So I need to lay out for you what those policy objectives are. And I got to be honest, this is terrifying. This is the far right being more organized than we've ever seen them before. And there's organizational structure, and they basically have a government in waiting. So that the second a Republican gets elected, in the first 180 days, they can go in there and clean house. So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to lead with that in just a second. We also have an impeachment inquiry into Biden has officially been launched. We'll talk about that. I have some reaction from Democrats. And then the really fun stuff, in my opinion, Breaking Points did a focus group in New Hampshire of Republican voters. And we have content to react to for days. And then we have the Young Turks. Michael Shore went to a Trump rally and interviewed some of the people there, and we got some surprising things that they said, and we got some wacky things that they said, and we're going to dive into all of it. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into it here. And by the way, you know the shameless plugs. Everybody do me a big old favor and click like and subscribe. Still desperately trying to stay ahead of my wife in the subscriber number, so hook your brother up with a subscription. All right, let's jump into it here. Project 2025 is this ominous creepy sounding thing. And you know what? It is ominous and it is creepy. What this is an amalgamation of right-wing think tanks got together, literally dozens of right-wing think tanks. They put aside their differences, they got together, and they released a 920-page document. And in this document, they lay out, all right, here's our plans moving forward. Here's what we're going to do the second that we get a Republican president in office. So let me go ahead and show you some headlines on this here. Salon says, dark right-wing network recruits MAGA army to replace 50,000 federal workers Trump plans to purge. Project 2025 is extremist new plan to set fire to our democracy, watchdog group warns. There's an article about this in PBS as well. Conservatives aim to restructure U.S. government and replace it with Trump's vision. So they had a little gathering in late August. I want to show you, in their own words, what they're in favor of. By the way, credit to a friend of the show, Humanist Report, Mike Figueredo, listen to, in their own words, what they want to do here.
We are going to be prepared day one, January 20, 2025, to hit the ground running as conservatives to really help the next president. This task in 2024 is too big for any one think tank. This has to be a movement. And what we've done is use our convening power here at Heritage to bring the entire movement together. But what we're doing...
Note all these names coming across the screen. These are all right-wing think tanks that were involved in putting aside their differences and getting together to lay out a clear agenda for the next Republican president.
Or is too big for any one think tank. This has to be a movement. And what we've done is use our convening power here at Heritage to bring the entire movement together. But what we're doing is systematically preparing to march into office and bring a new army of aligned, trained, and essentially weaponized conservatives ready to do battle against the deep state.
You have the Republicans being ready on day one in a way that we've never seen before. At the beginning of the Trump administration, it was very messy. It was scattershot. He was trying desperately to fill positions. You didn't have an army in waiting, as they say, to get in there and push a conservative agenda. So what you have is a 920-page document, and the main point is, all right, we're going to embrace what's called unitary executive theory. Now, for those of you that don't know what this is, back during the Bush-Cheney years, during the War on Terror, this is the philosophy they embraced. And the idea is no more checks and balances, no more congressionally approved positions. We're going to give the president more power than they are constitutionally allowed to have. And in this instance, what they're saying is they want to reclassify federal employees to what's called Schedule F employees. Now, what that does is it allows them to fire workers with impunity. And they plan to fire at least 50,000 of them. So normally, you'd have these career civil servants who have some degree of protection, but making them Schedule F means they basically have no more protection and they can be fired. Now, Trump previously had put into place Schedule F, but he just didn't act in a unilateral fashion to fire, 100,000 plus federal employees. This time, that's exactly what they're planning to do. Invoke Schedule F, fire at least 50,000 employees. By the way, Biden, when he came into office very early on, he replace the categorization of the federal workers as Schedule F to give them their civil servant status back and protect them. Trump or any Republican is going to come in there and do the opposite. Make them Schedule F, fire them. So what does that mean functionally? Well, it means they're going to totally dismantle the administrative state. So no more EPA or a functionally destroyed EPA that doesn't do EPA stuff. No more Department of Justice, or a Department of Justice that's directly under the control of Trump in a way where even – think about last time when he was trying to steal the election. He told Bill Barr – he's pressuring Bill Barr to use the Department of Justice to his advantage. And Bill Barr refused. He said, no, I'm not going to do that because this isn't true. This isn't right. They want to make it so that you have a total Trump sycophant and lackey who is completely under the thumb of the president. So no agency, even in theory anymore – would be independent. Every agency would be under the thumb of the president in a way that's more direct than we've ever seen before. So they want to get rid of the Department of Education. They want no more Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They want no more Department of Health and Human Services, no more Department of Labor. It is an outright assault on the entire administrative state. Now, in the document, they go further and they lay out other policy priorities. So one thing, which is, again, beyond terrifying, is not only do they want to gut environmental law, you know, Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, Trump already sort of weakened them massively. Biden came in and reversed that. But they not only want to weaken them massively, they want to make it so that not only do we not have EPA protections, they want to ban individual states, even blue states, from doing their own environmental laws. Think about how extreme this is. They are absolutely, positively, highly organized. All these groups put aside their differences, got together, organized, released a 920-page document, and they're ready to hit the ground running. Other things they lay out in there, there's a lot of Christian theocratic elements where they talk about putting the family at the center of American life again. There's definite shots at the LGBTQ community. They view it as degeneracy and a perversion. And that, again, that's laid out clearly in the document. They want to criminalize abortion. That's obvious. All of them have always wanted to do that. But they want to even bring it to the point where they would criminalize sending abortion pills by mail. This is an overreach the likes of which we haven't seen. They say in the document they want to outlaw pornography. So this is basically a right-wing fever dream come to life. Or maybe I should say a right-wing wet dream come to life. And they lay it out in crystal clear detail. And this is something that should be a shot in the arm to anybody who's moderate, centrist, center-left, on the left, whatever, even moderate Republicans, honestly, because this, I think, would offend the sensibilities of reasonable Republicans, that the real goal here is to basically do an authoritarian takeover of government, do it in the image of Trump, make it so there's no checks and balances, make it so there's no ability to rein him in when he goes too far, and make it so there's a far-right wish list that gets implemented, and they do it, again, within the first 180 days. So this should really wake you up to the reality of what we're dealing with here, man. This is dangerous. This is dangerous. And who's to say that if they win and they carry this out, who's to say that in one Democratic administration after this, you'd be able to fix all these problems? If you totally destroy the EPA and the DOJ and the Department of Education and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and Health and Human Services and the Department of Labor, if you totally destroy all those, it's more than an 8-year project to rebuild them and make them functional again. If you fire 50,000, 100,000 civil servants, people that actually carry out the policy agenda, it's hard to fix that in one term or two terms from a Democratic president. So this unitary executive theory is honestly terrifying when you talk about it in the hands of a far-right government. And they're not papering over it, man. They are very straightforward and direct with what they want to do. So you've been warned. You've been warned. This is what they've been working on. You could clearly see the difference between the left and the right. The right is highly organized. They're ready to hit the ground running. And basically, by any and all means necessary, we have to prevent these wheels from being put in motion. Hey, y'all, do me a favor and like and subscribe. It helps out big time.
Well, then we'll stop that. Okay. Man. So you hear the situation. And one of the things that I think about in this situation, once again, I could care less about this government, but I do care about human beings. I do care about humanity, and what these people are proposing is very right wing, very hardcore, very insensitive, very, oh man, it's ugly. It's ugly. And if Trump is elected, they'll try their best. And in fact, they may get away with it. If they have the majority, once again, they have the Republicans. Maybe Republican under Reagan was the last Republican that won an election with majority. I'm not sure, but recently, oh, hell no. The Republicans, they can't win an election like that. They can't. You know? But who knows? Who knows? Like I said, I'm not. Never have been. I mean, I remember Eisenhower vaguely. Because I was a little boy. I was born in the 50s, early 50s. And he was president at the time. In 1960. Kennedy took over. I remember Kennedy. I remember the election. I remember all of that stuff about Kennedy. You know? And then Johnson. Johnson ran against Barry Goldwater from Arizona. And Barry Goldwater was staunch right wing. And Johnson kicked his ass. But because of the war and the anti-war movement and some other things, Johnson chose not to run. And that's when Nixon came back, because Nixon ran against Kennedy. Nixon was the vice president under Eisenhower. And Nixon didn't have the situation under control like the other Republicans did. Reagan wasn't a staunch conservative. Reagan didn't come in like that. That's why he garnered the votes that he did. And plus that, too, Mondale wasn't a strong candidate. Mondale was not a strong candidate. Of course, neither was Jimmy Carter. So Jimmy Carter was, in 1980 and then Mondale in 84. And so then Bush, old man Bush, he was one term. Clinton kicked his ass, and Clinton got two terms. And then young Bush, and he got two terms. And then Barack, he got two terms. Then one term for Trump and possibly one term for Biden. Don't know. We'll see what's happening. It's going to be interesting, but as you can see with the plan that they have, this is so overtly racist, so overtly anti. It's hard to say how they could even promote and push an agenda like this in this day and age. It's hard. And there's one piece that I have, and that's the not the official website of the Project 2025, but just another piece that they have that you can get off YouTube. And the first person saying something in favor of what they want to do is a Negro. Is a Negro. And I'm saying to myself, you can't be kidding. Because they have many Negroes. Although there is a perception of a lot of us being conservative. I saw another piece they had, I think, six conservatives on this panel, Negroes talking about Trump and how, man, that's brainwashing. And well, we have been, we have been whitewashed. So we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to, when we come back from the break, we're going to have more conversation and tell me what you think of Project 2025. Tell me what you think. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And glad that you're with me. That was Willie Bradley featuring James Lloyd. Groove with me. Yeah, that was nice. Groove with me. Yeah. That's what we need to groove. Here's another piece I think I'm going to play dealing with this and some information I want to read, but it's not as long as the previous one. But here we go.
Crackpots, insurrectionists, and weekend terrorists are laying the groundwork to turn our government into a Trumpist nightmare if the former president somehow manages to get back into the White House in 2024. The AP reports on the plan laid out by a Project 2025, a government in waiting for Trump's return. Quote, the idea is to have the civic infrastructure in place on day one to commandeer, reshape, and do away with what Republicans deride as the deep state, firing as many as 50,000 federal workers. The goal is to oust employees they believe are standing in the way of the president's agenda and replacing them with like-minded individuals. That should sound familiar since it's directly linked to Donald Trump's authoritarian plans overall. The New York Times reported in July that Trump and his associates have a broader goal, to alter the balance of power by increasing the president's authority over every part of the federal government that now operates by either law or tradition, with any measure of independence from political interference by the White House. Numerous former Trump officials are involved with Project 2025, and look, it's not some shadowy behind-the-scenes effort. It's been open about its plans to gut worker protections and dismantle environmental protections. It includes their plans to make pushing right-wing Christianity the federal government's job. It's all in there, in the nearly 1,000-page playbook calling on the next president to maintain a, quote, biblically based social science reinforced definition of marriage and family. As Guthrie Graves Fitzsimmons writes for MSNBC, concerned about policies of this kind aren't only about the possible return of Donald Trump to office. This is about the next Republican president, whoever it may be, is going to be pushing Christian nationalism. Joining me now is David Korn, Washington bureau chief for Mother Jones, MSNBC political analyst, and author of American Psychosis, which comes out on paperback next week. David, I always say that the most dangerous people when it comes to protecting our government, it ain't the guys in shaman costumes, right? It's not the weekend warriors with Punisher signs on their flak jackets that they got at REI, okay? It's men and women in suits who write policy, who slowly but surely undermine our government. Put this Project 2025 in the frame. How dangerous is this?
Well, let me expand from that a little bit, because a lot of people watch, a lot of people concerned about authoritarianism in America focus on Donald Trump.
Right.
And I think rightfully so. He incited violence. He says we should suspend the Constitution. And as we just saw, he has his own campaign plan to impose an autocratic government should he cut back into the White House. But what we see with Project 2025 is a project funded at $22 million
right,
that has dozens of right-wing, far-right groups that have been in town and that are considered established right-wing organizations, like the Heritage Foundation. They've been doing something like this since 1980. Their first mandate for leadership was for the Reagan folks when they were coming in. And so now they have joined forces with Trump to sort of say, this is how you can do it. We know that Trump isn't capable himself.
Right.
He doesn't have the discipline, the understanding of how government works. So here we have, dozens of groups, hundreds of people, millions of dollars to put together a schematic plan for Trump to come in. And at the heart of it is getting rid of 10,000, 50,000, 100,000 or more federal workers. These are the people who, like, if the president comes in and says, I want to drill on the mall, they say, they're a career civil servant. They go, that's not what the law says, Mr. President. This is why you can't do this. The sign says that. Well, now, under this plan, Trump would say, you're out of here.
Right.
you know, there's a loyalty oath. There's an oath to my policies. If you don't do what I want you to say. And so the whole idea of an independent, expertise driven civil service government workforce
would be gone. I want to play you some sound because this is really important. It's Paul Danz. He's director of the 2025 Presidential Transition Project on firing federal employees, because I think this is key.
Yeah.
Ultimately, what we want to do is make sure that the federal bureaucracy is being directed by the people, through the president and his team.
Here's the thing. We already have the Republican organization. I keep saying they are not a party. They are a terrorist front. They're basically a cover for the MAGA terrorist movement. Yeah. And remember, they didn't even have a platform in 2020.
Right,
they just wanted a loyalty pledge.
Right.
Essentially, what this guy is saying is, we're going to put nice words about it, but we want every federal employee to have a loyalty pledge, not to the government.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, not to the government in general, not to American citizens, but only to Donald Trump. How dangerous is that, and how close would that take us to just absolute authoritarianism?
Well, I think it's highly dangerous, because there are a lot of issues out there, whether it's, you know, public health, right? You know, even foreign policy, you know, where there are things that are not, up to now, have not been considered partisan. There are policies, there are ways to do things. If you want to build an airport, there are regulations. The EPA has people who specialize. Now Donald Trump could come in and say, well, you know what? I want that airport near my country club, and I don't care what EPA regulations violates. If you say it's wrong, you're fired. And so the chilling effect this is going to have, and anybody, you know, out there who might watch MSNBC at home, they come in and they, well, you know, you're watching MSNBC, you're out of here.
Right.
And so it really gives them this total control. And it's part of this whole move on the right to come up with a unitary executive. For decades, they've been pushing this, saying that we don't have balance of power and checks and balances, that the president gets to run the show. It's not what the Constitution says.
Nope.
I don't think it's what the founders envisioned, but it is an authoritarian, autocratic government. And when you put that in the hands, particularly of someone like Donald Trump, a narcissist who wants all this power, it is a recipe for tremendous danger and for the consolidation of power that undermines democracy.
And also, the idea of saying that this is about civil service, to me, the concern that I have is it puts this patina on legitimacy. These people are terrorists, right?
Right.
You're saying, well, I'm going to create the foot soldiers for people who are essentially operating under terrorism. We've seen abundantly clear in the past and present that Trump and the people who still work with him, if they're not in jail by then, have no issue with using violence. So what does say that they want to cover for violent acts?
Great example. Donald Trump has said that if he comes into office, he will pardon the January 6th insurrectionists. But let's take another step further. Let's say that he comes back in and there's something like that again.
Right.
He can order, under these new plans, he could order the Justice Department to not prosecute people who attack his political enemies. He could encourage it, because part of this is taking control of the whole federal criminal justice system. So that's what they want to do. It's in the book. The people have been talking about this outside of this project. So he would be able to create his own shock troops and then give them impunity to do whatever he wants to in order to retain power. You know, it really causes the mind to reel if you think about what future elections and politics will look like if one person is given that much power.
Yeah, one man can't have all that power, and it would turn stand back and stand by from just a catchphrase to actual policy. Thank you so much, David Corn, for joining us this evening on The Readout.
Yeah, brothers and sisters, this is a tough time, isn't it? Very interesting time. Yeah. And the fact is that, and some of you had no idea about this Project 2025. Had no idea that Donald Trump, he doesn't have a plan, but the Republican Party has a plan. And of course, he is the Republican Party's face. And the fact that he has done things the way he has done it, you know, they're down with what he's done, and they're definitely down with what they want to do because of what he's done. He's the perfect kind of person to do this, you know, to implement a hardcore right wing. I mean, talking about firing people, giving you a test. And of course, those who are not loyal to Donald J. Trump. So let's see. We'll see what jumps off. But there'll be more said about this as time goes on. Let me get a caller in here, Brother Irv. How you doing, man? You made it, Brother Irv.
Thank you, Baba Oshie. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, always, dear brother. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. We got in last night. Drove cross country. Was fantastic.
Beautiful.
My God, if you want to see how strong your marriage is, drive cross country with your wife. Okay. If you still married when you get there, you got a beautiful thing.
Right. So anyway, and you do, my brother.
Yes.
Yeah.
But look, Baba Oshie. The part that gets me with American Africans is we continually get surprised when Rugu does something. In other words, Rugu has a history of everything. Right. Haiti's situation didn't start yesterday. Africa's situation didn't start yesterday. This guy, Donald Trump, his brethren are the German people, the mm-hmm. Europeans.
Yeah.
They're his brethren. Yeah. Come on, this is where he comes from. So for him to act like this, this is not surprising to me.
It shouldn't be.
It should not be. Yeah. This is what the people. And it's not Donald Trump. It's the people who support Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
It's the organizations that are in place that's been in place that perpetuate this type of thing. All they need is a face mm-hmm. because the people see the thing about Rugu. He'll show his face and be the front man if he has to. But if he doesn't, he'll get others to do his bidding.
No doubt.
And he uses whatever motivation, sex, money, whatever it is that is your vice, he will use that to motivate you, to move, to make you do whatever he needs you to do. So I am not surprised that this is more in-depth than just some white man screaming and calling people names and talking about they sold a vote. Oh, it's much deeper than that, my brother. These demonic people that we live amongst, and I say demonic, and I say that because evil, when someone is evil, they can't wait to show you how evil they are. And when you can kill people or teach your children to kill their babies, or you can put people in jail forever, that's evil, brother. I mean, where they have no sense of feeling, no, you know, bruh, look, it's the way it is. This is the way I said it is. And mm-hmm. and that type of thing lets me know that when you do it over and over again, this is you. This is how you think. This is how you teach your children to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not surprised. Anybody who can grab a black man off the street and hang him on Friday night for fun because they felt like it, these are the things that these people did to black people.
Yes.
And we act like it never happened. I'm not saying we do that, but I'm saying they did these things. They ripped babies out of stomachs. This ain't something I'm making up.
Right.
These are things that actually happened. But because that dissonance, that cognitive dissonance, we suffer from that. I don't want to keep that was long ago. We ain't going to talk about that. And now it's happening again. Because if you don't read your history, don't know your history, it'll happen again. And what's happening now? Because the first people to go in this plan that you just played is American Africans. We're the first ones to go. You know, you don't agree with me, you got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
these whites, because they have a God complex, Baba Oshie. That's why you have the movie Frankenstein. I gave him life. No, you didn't. You can't give life, white man. You can take a life, but you can't kill an idea. You can't kill someone's vision. And that's where the American African has been enduring. We are Africans are people. There are more African doctors in this country than any other race of people, any other ethnicity, because the Africans they're not stupid. They're smart. But when you're dealing with a demonic presence in the spiritual realm, it's a constant fight. And I always sit and wonder real quick, Baba Oshie, I'm going to get off and let someone else talk. Why was Africa colonized? If Africans are so smart, why were we colonized? Mm-hmm. You gotta understand what we were dealing with. We weren't dealing with regular people, and we still aren't. We're dealing with a demonic spirit. And I keep saying that word demonic because I want that to sink into the listener's psyche. Evil is evil through and through.
Yes.
And when you're an evil person, man, nothing makes sense to you, to the person who's not evil. Just, I can't, why would you, why do you want to dominate me? That's how I breathe. That's how I live. Mm-hmm. I'm better if I can dominate you. If I have a dog that I can tell to stop, sit, sleep, I dominate that dog. And it makes me feel, because that's my genetic makeup. I am to dominate you.
Right.
And we can get it. We can get deep with that if we want, and even pull the covers off of that. But the point I'm making is, I am not surprised at Donald Trump, because Donald Trump, there are lots of Donald Trumps. Mm-hmm. So let's not act like when Rugal does something, I can't believe they did that. The police did what? I'm not surprised, brother. Believe me, these people have a track record. They have a history. And every day you come on this radio show and you remind us of the history. You remind us of the revolutionary thought. You remind us of where we come from. And that needs to be done. And you are making a difference.
Well, I got
you. You've made a difference in my life.
I got
Thank
you, brother. I appreciate you, man. Bless you.
Yeah,
I'm glad that you made it. You're on the left. You're on the left coast now. All right, dear brother.
You okay. Ain't never lied. All right, big brother.
Peace.
I'm listening, man.
Okay.
We'll talk.
Brother Paul, good afternoon, my brother. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon to you, my elder Baba Ochi. And let me just say a fantastic and graceful welcome to my big brother, Irv, my big brother of a different mother. Absolutely, absolutely
right.
On point. You know, it was so elating for me to hear that rendition, Baba Ochi. You just don't know. It was so heartwarming. It was so, and I just, after I heard it, I said, I just gave thanks to the ancestors, because I know, I don't believe, I absolutely know that they are at work. And, you know, once you tap into that mystic, that natural mystic, there's only one course you can take, and that's the course of truth. But Irv has got it. He knows what he's talking about. He's absolutely right. He said Trump is a German. Well, Trump's father was from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And his mother was from Scotland. Okay. His mother is from Scotland. His father is from Germany. And he said, well, he know what they do. He know how they operate. And what he's saying is, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
That's right.
Yeah?
That's right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So for anyone to be surprised, really and truly, they're in a bad way. Because, you know, I've come to the conclusion, when you was talking, Baba Ochi, I decided to myself, the work of Chancellor Williams always jumps out to me. No matter what I hear, no matter what spokesman is speaking, my mind, it takes me back to his work. When I read that book, I read it and it was so profound that I just couldn't grasp it. It was just overwhelming. So I've recently, because you can get it on YouTube, by the way, anyone can get it on YouTube. It's an audio book now.
Oh, okay.
So what I did.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. A lot of these books, some fantastic African-American, he's just fantastic, whoever he is, has turned them into audiobooks. And whoever gave him that idea is an absolute genius. So no one has any excuse. If you don't want to read, you can get it up on YouTube. Yeah? Well, what I did is downloaded it. And I have been meticulously going through every chapter and breaking it down. And it's, sometimes I feel like I want to cry. I want to cry because I'm thinking, look at this man. Look at the greatness. This man dedicated 16 years of his life. He went to all your Harvard, Yale.
Yeah.
He went to all your institutions.
Yes.
And he got off his ass. He didn't just sit on his ass and talk a load of nonsense. He came to England and he went to all their institutions. He went to Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Cambridge, and he didn't just go there, Baba Ochi. He took them on. You imagine a black man in his time. He took them on, and he told them, I'm going to prove you wrong. And do you know what he done after that? He left here and went to Africa, and he traveled to every African country. Now, you tell me who's done that. And some of the African countries, he says in his book, they didn't want to let him in. He went to South Africa while they had their troubles, okay? And while they had their troubles, he explains what happened, how he was given a car by the US embassy to travel around in. Can you imagine them times black people were under apartheid?
Okay.
He was a black traveling around in a car given to him by the US embassy, right? And they didn't know what was going on. They were confused. Mm-hmm. Who's this black man traveling around in this car with a US seal on it? Right? He traveled everywhere in Africa. And he documented what was going on with the Africans. He went to Rhodesia, it was called at the time. They let him in, by the way, Rhodesia. And they treated him like a king in Rhodesia.
Okay.
Remember, it was under colonial rule.
Right, right. Now it's Zimbabwe.
And now Zimbabwe. And I am so fascinated by this man. He's done the work. The overriding message in that book, he talks about the identity of the African-Americans in that book. He explains it and breaks it down, how many identities you have. He says you're all confused. I don't say it's not me. He says it, right? Mm-hmm. And he says you need to obtain an African identity, not an Arab identity, not whatever identity you want to grasp. He said you need to obtain that. And I agree with him. I agree with him for not just you over there, all of us, because we're all damn confused, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But it just comes back to one thing, Baba Ochi. It's serious. When I'm meticulously going through the book and putting it under a microscope, it just the same thing comes back to me. It's whether Trump calls it the 2025 plan and puts all those nonsense in it, yeah. Because that plan, to be honest with you, if you go and study the works of this guy who's calling for the Great Reset, his name slips my mind now.
Okay,
this German guy. Right, who in Europe who's calling for the Great Reset, right? Who wrote a book called The Great Reset? It just sounds exactly like that, and it is that. It's the same thing. This guy in Europe, right, is trying to pull all the Europeans together and reset. So all those things I'm hearing is what he's talking about. That's the same plan. Well, so
sounds like the same thing as they're trying to what is his name? It's escaping me right now, but just
come back to me. Klaus Schwab.
Okay.
Klaus Schwab. That's his name. What I'm talking about, his name is Klaus Schwab.
Okay.
He wrote a book called The Great Reset. When you have these G7 meetings, yeah, all of a sudden this guy who's not been elected by nobody. By the way, you know who his mentor was?
Who's that?
His mentor was what do you call that guy? Zinsky, or whatever his name is.
Zygmunt Brzezinski?
Yes.
Zygmunt Brzezinski?
That was his mentor. That was his mentor. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That was his mentor. Now, what did he stand for? Look, the thing is here, and this guy's in Europe telling all. Look, they got a thing called the New Leaders Group, they call it, yeah? And Richie Sunak is part of that. The government in Trudeau in Canada, he's part of that Young Leaders Group, right? And a lot of the these politicians, I'm not sure if Biden is, I'm not sure if Trump is, but I think Clinton was part of it. I'm not sure, but a lot of them are part of this Young Leaders Group, and they all push the same agenda. So the COVID period was called the Great Reset, and under that period, 80% of the world's, I'm not talking about just America, 80% of the world's wealth shifted. They shifted the world's wealth into the 1%. They did that. That was what COVID was about. So when you read that,
So the 1% who dominate and control every damn thing else, 80% of the world's wealth was shifted into them. They are in control.
That's what they did. Now, let me show you how they did it. They shut down. They paused all the economy. We know that. They paused. You couldn't go into shops. Everything was shut down for 2 years, yeah? And while it was shut down, they brought everything online. That's why they brought it online. So anything you have to obtain, you have to go through the computer. You have to go through the internet, yeah? Mm-hmm. Right?
Okay.
You couldn't go into the shops. If you want to buy goods, Amazon stock went from there to high. Anyone who owns internet companies like Elon Musk,
Zuckerberg,
Bezos, Zuckerberg, all them. Bill Gates, who was considered the richest man in the world. Mm-hmm. All their stocks went from here to universe, just went crazy. And they don't reveal the true figures, but 80% of the world wealth shifted to those people's hands. Okay, because this is what I say, Baba Ochi, right? And I know people, listen, I used to say this on the radio in England, and people used to phone up saying that, get that idiot off the radio station, yeah? I used to say, this word, this thing, economics, this is a big con. And people used to laugh, but I'm still saying it. Let me tell you why I'm still saying it. If you look at the word, just look at the word. It means economics, right? Right, someone, the people say, well, what does that mean? Look. If you study the history, right, they send, like, London School of Economics, they call it the most prestigious educational facility in Britain, right? London School. But funny enough, all those people who work in governments around the world, maybe not America, but all these so-called developing countries, they come here to learn that, you know? They learn this economics and they send them back to their country. Why do they do that? Because that economics thing is how they hold them. The guru, if you just pick up a book and read it, their guru and what they're practicing now comes from a man they call Adam Smith. He was a Scotsman who wrote the policies, yeah? That policy, we've been flying from since 2008, quantitative easing, they call it, when they print money. The Federal Reserve has been printing money. But he even said in that book, he said, that's his own words. He said, once a country starts to print money, the next stage is war. Because if you're printing money, that means there's nothing going on in your country. No real wealth is being produced. So they print money to keep the... And you know how they learned that? They learned that from the Great Depression. When the Great Depression happened, first started in America... They passed a law. Listen to what I'm telling you. They passed a law to seize everybody's gold. That means if you had gold jewelry, if you had gold necklaces, it was illegal to have them. Now, if you think I'm making this up, go and read in your books and see. That's how desperate they were. They seized everybody's gold. They passed an act that you had to hand in your gold. Okay? Imagine that. You might have had a ring or whatever. If you was wearing that in public, you'd be arrested and told to hand it into the treasury. Okay, but from that they learn that, okay, so we don't cause this panic. People were dying in the streets. People were starving. They almost had a civil war. So they learn from that the way to do it is get a printing machine in the Federal Reserve and just print paper and give them the feeling that something's happening because they got money. Money for free, they call it. But the problem with that money didn't end up in the hands of the people. In America. It ended up into the institutions.
Okay.
So the institutions now... are so mega rich. They had, in economics, they have something called trickle-down economics. Trickle-down, because they say that if it goes to the top, it will trickle down to the bottom. I mean, who come up with that nonsense?
That came under the Reagan people in trickle-down economics. And of course,
they're following Adam Smith. They're following Adam Smith. That's what he said, trickle-down economics. But what I'm saying is, in reality, this is why I say that economics is nonsense. In reality, how can that work? Any idiot can tell you that can't work. Because the more human nature is such that the more money you have, the more money you want. You don't want to give people less than you money. That's how humans work. I'm sorry to say that. Human beings are greedy like hell. If you give them more money, it's money, they want more. They don't want less. And they don't want to give it to the people who are poor. So that trickle-down economics is rubbish. And that's what they've been pushing for the last 10, 15 years, and it hasn't worked. So what do they have to do now? They have to have a war. They have to. Because the war means you kill off the creditors. Who are the creditors? You and me. So they're going to send our children to die because they haven't got the money to pay their pensions. They haven't got the money to pay Social Security. It's all collapsed. It collapsed in 2008. I want the people to wake up, and it's clear that they're not waking up because they're so distracted by everything. But these people, the COVID thing, they killed off enough of us, and we don't even realize. They killed us off the most, and we don't even have a record of how many of us died. Which we just don't have it. Nothing. We're so complacent. So I 100% go with my brother Herb. Why can't we wake up? This has been happening. We, the people who wear this enhanced color of melanin, we should be the ones who know more than everyone. We have seen the face of the devil, but yet we're still acting like it's play day. Right. You know what? The reality of it is, yeah. You know what? You know the truth of the matter is, you got that Donald Trump over there, yeah? this part of me, I hope he does get in power. I do. And I'll tell you why. Because this Biden here, this nutcase, this sleepy man who's senile as hell and he's not running your government, he's a totally out of his mind. Every time I watch him, I feel like I want to catch him. He looks like he's going to fall over, right? That man there.
And yeah, you're right.
I keep reading. He does this little jog, right, where he looks like he's going to run over. And I keep reaching out to the telly to catch him. Yeah? But listen, right? That's a joke. But listen, he is going to get us all killed, definitely. He is playing with fire with Russia. And if he plays with fire Russia, China's going to join and we're going to be annihilated. I looked on the internet. Do you know the first place they're going to strike? Russia says it. It's on the bloody internet. It's London. Now, why? If the Americans are over there, if Uncle Sam is over there poking the beer, why should we get stroke? Why should we? Right. And I'll tell you why. Because the center of capitalism is in London, the corporation. Mm-hmm. It's on the internet. Anyone can go and read it. They said they're going to strike London because once they knock out the financial center, everything starts collapsing. Everything, because all of it comes through London. It all starts collapse. Yeah, America's going to be able to sustain it for a while, but it all comes through the corporation of London.
Yeah,
so that's why they sell.
I remember when the issue of Muammar Gaddafi was happening and what he was trying to do on the continent, having taken the leadership of the Organization of African Unity or the African Union, and he wanted to develop a currency using the gold dinar, using gold coins, its own currency backed by resources. And so the main push was coming out of London that we cannot allow this to happen.
No, because London, the corporation of London controls that. You said it before. America controls the arms.
The military arms.
Cool. Yep. Yes. And it's funded by everything what goes on in the city of London, the corporation of London. Mm-hmm. And the ones who control their minds are the Vatican. Mm-hmm. The Office of Strategic Studies was the forerunner for the CIA. The CIA today still works for the Vatican. The CIA today still operates. The CIA don't belong to the American government. It belongs to the Vatican. Mm. And that might be hard for you to hear, but go and look at its history. The first officers, they were FS Nazis. Under Operation Paperclip, the Americans brought the remaining Nazis to America.
Right.
That's why you have... Am I making this up?
No, you're on.
Right. And the Office of Strategic Studies, that's what it was called, turned into the CIA. Right? Now, what I'm saying is those three operations, the Vatican Church, Catholicism, mm-hmm. the Corporation of London, right, and Washington, D.C., they have special mm-hmm. relationship. Those three bodies.
That's right.
And they are used to control the world, everything that goes on in the world, the whole damn world. Mm-hmm. So that's why they protect each other. Let me tell you what last thing I'm going to say to you. You know this Theresa May? I'm trying to remember this President, Prime Minister Theresa May when she came into power.
Yeah, I remember.
Right. Now, I never heard this before and I've never heard it since. And it was on the internet. If I find it, I'll send it to you. When she came in, they do a speech. But I've never seen her. For some reason, I've never seen them do the speech. But I saw this one. And she said, right, she said that she explained that there's a nuclear submarine what travels around the sea. And it's equipped with I forget the name of it, but it basically translates as total death and destruction. So it's basically a nuclear weapon. But when they fire it, it's all over. Wherever they fire it, it's done. Done, totally done for them, yeah? But what was amazing to me, she started to say how if America gets attacked, she said this in the speech, you know, she says, like, if America gets annihilated, right, she has a key where she has to use the key and whoever annihilates America, they annihilate it. And I said, wow. So here, the Scottish MP stood up in the parliament because she's a woman and he said to her, does that mean you'd be willing to annihilate women and children? I'm going to find it and send it to you if you think I'm making it.
No, I would love to see it.
She said without one bit of hesitation, she said yes. Now, remember, this woman, right, she ain't got no children, you know? That woman's got no children. And I know that's why he asked her that. He was he knew the answer, but he wanted to embarrass them because the Scots and the English have a lot of issues here. They don't really like each other. Right. So when you hear them talk, they talk very much against each other. So he turned around and said, "You're willing to kill women and children? This is a woman, you know." And the woman said, "Yes," without any hesitation. Mm-hmm. But then she don't have no children. She's a very rich woman, but she don't have no children, so she could say that. So this is the reality we live under. When I heard that, my heart sunk. I said, look at these people. We have left them in charge of our world, these nutcases, right? And with Biden, we ain't going to have... So I prefer Trump, because Trump, he said he's going to dismantle this NATO, yeah? And I hope he does. I hope he does, because these people are totally crazy. So I'm sorry to say this, Baba Ochi. If he's going to give you hell over there, you're going to have to take one advice. Listen to Brother X and run for the forest. Or take your advice and leave and go to Africa. Because I'd prefer Trump than flipping Biden. Biden is going to send us all to hell in a handcart.
I don't trust either one of them. And this whole thing is shaping up to be very... demonic and dubious for humanity, not just for us, but for everybody.
You know, these fools are telling us on the radar, listen to the LBC. LBC is one of their right. I said, these people are totally out of their mind. He's talking about conscription, you know, conscription. And I'm saying, are these people crazy? Do they think people are that stupid? This is not the 50s and 40s where people are going to go and give their life to these idiots to so that they can fat up their pockets. This is not that time. And none of my sons are going there. I'm going to talk to them and tell them, you ain't going. You let these devils fight their own devil war and kill each other. And
that's right.
In Africa, yeah?
That's right.
Let them kill each other, okay? You're not going for them. You know what I mean? That's how I feel about it. And I'll tell any one of them, they are psychopaths. Conscription, that's what they're talking about on the radios here right now. They want me to, or my offspring, my pygmy them, to go fight for them. Russians, you know? You crazy. Russians, they're playing with Ukrainians. They can annihilate them at any minute. And you're going to send my people there to go and fight your stupid battles with your crazy psychopath itself. No way on this planet.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Psychopaths. That's why I love Dr. Bobby Wright's brilliant essay, The Psychopathic Racial Personality.
Brother OG.
Yeah, go ahead, Irv.
Brother Paul is right on point with what he's saying. And the one thing that sticks out in what he's saying, Baba Oshie, is history. He keeps going back to history. He keeps going back to what these people did. And that is where the answer is for American Africans. The answer to all our problems, or whatever you want to call them, is in history. Clark said that. These we're talking about a people, Baba Oshie, who 3,000, maybe 2,000 or 3,000 of them were killed in Pearl Harbor. And these Americans turned around and killed 200,000 people in Hiroshima and Nagasaki in less than an hour or so.
Right.
They didn't have to do that.
No, but that was, they killed them so they could tell Russia, you do something. You see what happened to them? We would do this to you. We can check you. It can happen to you.
Yeah. But see, now that everybody got a nuke now, brother.
Oh, yeah.
You ain't the only one with a nuke.
No.
We all got nukes.
Yeah.
So now.
That's what makes the world dangerous. That's what makes the world very dangerous.
But see, what happens, Baba Oshie, is when you have a man or a species or a being or a group that's not afraid to die, that's a dangerous man. Mm-hmm. He's a dangerous man. And that's the only thing that's held over your head right now is death. Mm-hmm. I will kill you. I don't want to die no more than anybody else. Don't get me wrong. I'm not running around here talking about I'll die for this. And I remember Paul said something about that, and it made a lot of sense to me. He said, man, I'm not sitting here talking I'll die for this. I got kids. I want to live for my children. I don't want to live for them, too.
Right.
But when the brother was right on point with that. But there's something that you have to let these people know, that I have no fear in me. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to walk into a gunfires and stuff, but I have no fear in me. What I'm saying, I believe. I'm not saying this to entertain people. I'm not saying this to make myself look like I know everything and you don't know anything.
Right.
I'm saying this because my people will never, ever be defeated. American Africans will never be defeated. Why are Africans still around? Mm-hmm. Why haven't they come in and taken, like he said about the Ukraine, Russia could stop Ukraine in a second, in a heartbeat. Reagan stopped the six-day war in Russia by a phone call. He made a phone call and said, look, I need y'all to stop with this Palestinian, and they stopped it. It was a six-day war. This guy that's the president now, Biden can do that right now. Mm-hmm. He can stop that war right now with a phone call. No more arms. I'm not giving you no more arms. It's we need to stop this. And I'm telling Germany not to send no more arms either. Huh? Mm-hmm. But see, that's not on the television. You don't hear that on the radio. Because they don't want you. The thing is, information is what makes people think the way they think. And the stuff that Paul was just spitting out, how the CIA, what the CIA used to be called, and what the League of Nations is called now, and that the IMF is just a bank, and if a bank doesn't put out loans, it don't make money. All these things that Paul was saying it's so true, because now we're starting to connect the dots, Baba Oshie. This is not conspiracy theory. These are things you can research for yourself. If you have anything that you don't believe that he just said, research it for yourself. I research everything, Baba Oshie, could come out your mouth.
Yeah.
I blindly believe you.
Yeah, right. No, to be sure. Myself, if I'm saying it, I ain't just shooting at the hip or off the cuff or whatever. I've had some information that substantiates what I'm going to say. Otherwise, I'm not going to say it.
Let me help the people out with this as well, what you said, Baba Irv. Let me interject this here. You see this, our brother, Irritated Genie. What's his African name, Baba Ochi? Because I forget it.
Ayo.
Sorry?
Ayo.
Ayo.
Ayo Kamathi.
Ayo Kamathi.
Kamathi.
Ayo Kamathi. I got to remember that. Yep. Ayo Kamathi.
It's Ayo Kamathi. Kamathi.
Kamathi. Ayo Kamathi. I got to remember that. Ayo Kamathi. Okay. Our brother, right, he fabulously brave. He's doing some tremendous work, right? I just want to connect some dots here. Ukraine, this is what people need to understand, used to be known as Khazaria, right? And some of these people who converted to Judaism, that's where they came from, Khazaria, okay? Right today, you don't hear none of this mentioned in the media, but you just do the research. The third largest place where those people who identify themselves as Jews come from, mm-hmm, is Ukraine.
Right.
Now look up
the Khazars.
Watch how we're being played. Look, let me show you how we're being played. When this started in my country, in the country I was born in, they opened up the doors for them, yeah? Opened up the doors. All the women, come. People, they gave people money to put them in houses. But yeah, if you're a person of color, Afro, you come to this country, yeah? Then you have to go through all kind of hoops and all kind of mistreatment and everything, right? And people were screaming about it, but it happened. The government gave people money. But what they missed is the trick. Yeah, they missed the trick. The third largest population of Jews. Now, check the play. This puppet they put in power, since the American government helped them overthrow the country, because that happened, yeah, they created the coup in that country, yeah, and they overthrew it. Was it 2014 or something? And they put that puppet in place. Remember, he was a comedian, you know? I ain't making this up.
Right.
That
right.
guy was a comedian on stage right. making jokes, and they put him in power.
Yeah.
He's an actor. Yeah, whatever his name is. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
He's Jewish. Now he's a right hand man. About three of them, four of them, all under them, they're all Zionists. Now look at how we're being played.
Mm.
They moved all their people out. Yeah. Now you know something that place is known for. In the Second World War, when they were fighting Hitler, a lot of them in that country, the Slavs, they wanted to fight with Hitler. They formed all kind of brigades. They got a man down there, I forget his name, but he was one of the biggest supporters of Hitler, yeah? Because they wanted to push out the Jews. So I'm saying how we're being played. I think this is just my speculation going on. I think there's a game being played there. They've created this idea that they're warring with each other. And why they've done that? Because war really is to target the people, to kill off the people. The people are the ones who pay the taxes and everything. And in return for paying your taxes, you want a pension. And that's a lot of money. But they've done stolen the pension, because that's what they do through their banking system. They steal your money. So because they can't pay them back, they create these situations so that the people kill each other and they sit back and watch. Now, who's best known for that? Sitting back and watch while you kill each other. And I think that's what they're doing. And I think, this is my speculation, that Putin, I keep looking at him, and he looks Jewish to me. to me, and I done some talk. And it says it on the internet. It says now, you know what's funny though? You go when you do the research, you go on Jewish pages and groups, and they themselves are asking the question. They themselves. So what does that tell you? But these people are very shifty. You got to be very careful with them. They're very, very deceiving. They plan things ahead.
Oh, no doubt.
I think they've just created this whole situation, right, to pull our eye. It's not coincidence that they started the same situation. It's a land grab. You know what Ukraine is good? All of a sudden we learn that Ukraine is feeding the world through its wheat or whatever.
Right, the agriculture. It's very, very big in agricultural. Yeah.
Right, very big, yeah. So it's a land grab. It's a land grab what's going on, and they're all in it together. And they use the people as cannon fodder. That's why I say you got to look at these countries as corporations. We are the cannon fodder. We just go in and do the dirty work for them, and then they just get rid of us, and then they just cream off. Halliburton, when this Iraq war was taking place and they were sending their people to die, who made the riches? Wasn't it Halliburton? Halliburton is still in Iraq, earning money, still to this day.
Yeah.
Okay?
Halliburton.
It's just a joke. They use us. It's use us. But what I'm trying to make is, them at the one who call themselves the 1%, I call them the parasite class, yeah? They're just using us. They're just using the people. So the realization, this is a bitter pill to swallow for people. This is very bitter, especially in your country, because your country is very racially divided. We better come together, because they will let us kill off each other, and they will go in their bunkers and wait until it's all over. And they will use these bombs if it need be. And you won't have no future. I'm telling you, I've seen it. Because we're being played. We're being played. All of us are being played. Okay? The black, the white, all of us, we're being played. And they have come to an agreement between them and themselves. They've already told us there's too many people on the planet. Who give them that right to tell us that? Who did?
Yeah, and that's not true.
I'm telling you, they are playing us, OP.
Right.
And our duty when we come on these platforms is to wake the people up. Yes, mm-hmm. We have got our differences. We've even got our differences in our family. But these psychopaths, and they are psychopaths, intend to wipe many, many, many of us off the planet.
Right.
Without no fat. So we got those of us who are conscious, who call ourselves conscious, we've got to see through the tricks. Mm-hmm. Because we haven't got the weaponry which we have paid for, which is in their hands. We ain't got that. So we better wake up. It's not like we're going to have a knife fight and a knife in a man. It's not that kind of fight anymore. It's just a fight where they press a button and you, me and you are gone.
Yeah, right. Evaporated.
So plea is to all of you, you the intelligent ones, I am speaking now to the most intelligent ones. You have the guts to stand up and talk out loud. I'm talking to you. That your duty is to save the whole of us, because they are deliberately and purposely dividing it, and those who can't see it will get caught up in their nonsense, because that's what they're doing. And that's why I talk about the colonial plan, because when I study the people I live among, when I study how they operate and work, my mum always said to us when we were young, these people are two-faced. My mum has not hate for no one. My mum has not hate for no one, Ochi.
Hey, Jay.
Hold on,
Jay.
Let
Paul finish making his point.
Let me just finish. My mother has no hate for anybody. She doesn't speak like me. When I used to speak to her, she used to say, "Why are you always worried about this? Why are you always taking it on?" She has no hate. But she said to us, "Don't stay in this country," she said. And she got up and left. She lives in Jamaica. Don't live in this country, yeah? But she always used to say, "These people are two-faced." And I never understood what she meant. As I get older and I watch, they will smile in your face and even be your friend. And they will stab you in your back. But the bottom line is, even our own have adopted that attitude.
That's
so
right.
we have to save our family and our kind.
Because of that association brings on assimilation. When you're in it and you don't have a defense mechanism and you can't continue to guard yourself, you fall victim. So let me catch Jay, Paul. Thank you, dear brother. Bet. Jay, go ahead.
Hey, you was talking earlier about Project 2025. So you've been doing a little bit of research, right?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
I have.
Now, understand what I'm saying to you. it's extremely dangerous when you allow a foreigner who has a propensity to call up black radio stations and lecture them on what they should do to make a statement that Donald Trump should become president of the United States. That's like that bot nonsense they was talking about in 2016. The reality is this: as you continue to read and study Project 2025, some of those items in 2025 may be implemented if Biden gets back in office. And hopefully there'll be a lot of safeguards in regards to that. But if Trump gets into office, 2025, 80 to 90% of that is going to be implemented in this country. And basically what it's going to do is put your black ass back into Jim Crow and what it was like in the 40s, 50s, up until when the so-called civil rights movement and all of those things came into place.
Well, you know, when you look at it, Jay, you're most correct, because a lot of things that as I look into it is, you know, once again, the conservatives, they want to conserve how it was back in the 40s and 50s and so forth.
Yes,
when they're talking about the most people who are the people who are in government jobs mostly. Us.
Yes.
And they're talking about
eliminating. Who are the biggest employees of the government, OC? Black people. Do black people have anything in place in this country to rehire those black people?
No.
So the thing is this, regardless of what Biden is, because they all about one thing, protecting whiteness. Let's be clear on that. I'm extremely clear on that. But the thing that Trump would do and allow his sycophant cult backers to do will be detrimental to black people and moving forward. So to hear some clown from across the ocean tell black people they need to put Trump in office, yo, man, you got to ask yourself, is that Negro an agent, a plant? Because I don't hear other people from other countries calling into black radio with this nonsense, trying to educate black people on what they should do for their benefit. Now, you may think what I'm saying is crazy, but you better think about what I'm saying to you, brother, because it only takes one to stir the pot and cause the type of confusion that will lead black people into an enslavement, a Jim Crowism, in a hard position, and they ass across the water living their life. You better wake up, brother.
I'm looking at it this way. It doesn't make any difference. Serious. It doesn't make any difference wherever we are, whether we're across this pond or that pond, on the continent or on the continent, it is going to be a very difficult situation for us, because that's what time it is, period.
But see, what we have to understand, Ochi, is that there are some people in the equation that can survive it. I know we can survive it. And the only reason we're going to be able to survive it is because we have the economic resources to survive it. But others don't have my economic resources. Others don't have pensions, social security, and things of that nature. The vast majority of black people, and then this is the thing that people don't understand. It's not only going to be black people, it's going to be other people. And the country is basically going to turn into a civil war. And here it is, you listening to some fool from overseas telling you what direction you're supposed to go as a black man in America. Stop it, O. You need to put it into it now,
no,
because it'll come back to haunt us. telling you, it'll come back to haunt us.
No.
Okay.
To me,
that's all
you
I got to say
then,
on it.
There it is. Then you said your piece. You said
that's
your
it.
Piece. There
well,
it
listen,
is.
Listen, I also
all right.
wanted to ask you. I also wanted to ask you this. In your research, of Project 2025, don't you see the elements of a new form of Jim Crow coming into place?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. You know,
okay.
You're talking about Christian nationalism. You're talking
white
about
supremacy.
White supremacy. Oh, there's no doubt about it. What they're talking about here in this Project 2025, as I stated earlier, you're talking about going as it looked back in the 30s and 40s and 50s. And back in the
yes.
30s, 40s, and 50s for us
and, oh,
was very dangerous.
And, oh, it's becoming even crazier? They becoming emboldened in their statement
sure.
of this being a Christian white.
Yes.
You didn't hear that nonsense
yes.
a year ago, 2 years ago, or anything. They thought it, they felt it. But do you see how it's gradually being
yeah.
set up to be implemented, and we don't even understand it, and we don't even realize it? I mean, it's absolutely crazy. I mean, think about this. Even though people get in their feelings about the student loan because maybe they didn't get their student loan waived, but think about all the people that student loans were waived. Think about
yeah.
that. So here it yeah. is. Your mother or your daughter or your son or whatever gets their student loan waived, which when Biden first did it, what did the Republicans do? Jump and stop it. Now here it is. He went around them and still went and helped millions of people in this country. And you got the audacity to think that that's your enemy, even though he is your enemy. But I mean, just
I think the thing is that when you look at what the Democrats have done and what Biden has done, looking more favorably than what has been reported by the right wingers and the Republicans, and particularly Trump, it will. That's a fact. That is a fact. I'm not a Biden supporter, but that is
I'm
a
not,
fact.
I'm not going to vote for him, but I'm saying the reality is you got to be intelligent enough to realize what one will do to you and what the other will do to you. And it ain't no way in hell, based on the way this system is set up, Biden is going to enslave your black ass.
Yeah.
Now, Trump will enslave your black ass. And in the process, just think about this one thing. This is real serious. Do you know me and you could be picked up and be deported and nothing will happen if that clown get in office? Based on the whim of some police officer?
Well,
think about that.
If you don't have the documentation, yes.
Oh.
But if you got the documentation,
you,
I can say that.
Even if you have the documentation. So now you're saying to me, oh, think about what you're saying, oh. Now we have to walk around like we in South Africa at one time.
You're
think
damn
about
right.
What you're saying. Oh,
that
so
that
now
could be
you
the case.
Walk around
that
with
could be the case. That
to
could,
prove
that
your
could
work.
Be the, yeah, that could be the case when they're talking about when they're talking about exporting hundreds of thousands of people, you know, let me get in, brother Kwaku. Kwaku, good afternoon. I know we're up against time. In fact, we're past time. What's up, Kwaku? How you doing?
Yeah. Oh man, I'm feeling good, brother. I'm just engaging, trying to understand the conversation. I mean, I don't think it's important that we have a discussion about what white people would do, because we don't. There's no one way of knowing what they would do. So why would you sit up and have a discussion about what they would do, whether it be Biden or Trump or anybody else? they're all the same.
Well, they're all the same, but we're speculating. But we're speculating.
Yeah, I mean, why are we having these discussions? I mean, and the thing of it is, we should not be anywhere near assaulting people on the radio, and that shouldn't be allowed, and shouldn't be tolerated. And Jay, I appreciate you. I mean, what I'm saying is, tone down your rhetoric, bro. Don't be assaulting people on the radio program, because that's not what this radio program is about, bro.
Okay.
Assaulting
yeah.
someone that is trying Jay, to put my Jay, people in danger with their rhetoric. I got you, bro. We don't even have to Jay. Go no further. We don't have to go no further.
Okay.
Bro, we ain't got to go no further. We ain't got. Well, I'm telling you.
Okay.
That's right. We ain't got to go any further. In fact, I'm going to end the program now, brothers and sisters. I love discourse. I do. Civilly. I love it. But when we come to a point where we're going to start yelling and screaming and get all out of pocket, it's got to get cut off. You know, what we're trying to do is get the understanding of what's happening with us, what is being planned, so we can do what is necessary to deal and become and to get up under it and up out of it if need be. That's what we have to do. I understand where Paul is coming from. To me, I'm not down with Trump at all. But I ain't down with Biden at all either. And of course, many times our people have talked about the lesser of two evils. We've been talking about that damn near every election. Damn the lesser of two evils. I'm trying to say we need to get up out of the evil. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. A PB48 means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you on Friday. Peace.
Thank you.